Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, the Lord bless you. We're continuing to make our way through the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, making our way to the celebration of Ascension and the Day of Pentecost. I love this time of the church year. You see the promises of Christ, what Jesus has accomplished for us in his incarnation, passion, death, resurrection, his ascension into glory at the right hand of the Father. He begins the new creation in his person, the Father's plan for the future of the human race. Our eternal destiny is made real in the person of Jesus Christ and what he now possesses, who he is in glory, clothed in power, and all authority and dominion and grace and blessing belong to Jesus. And he's poured out the Holy Spirit to give us a new birth in our baptism, a down payment of an eternal inheritance that he himself has won for us so that we can be sons and daughters of God and we can inherit what the firstborn, that is Jesus himself, is inheriting. So we have so much to celebrate. And it's really important, friends, as we continue to make our way through the COVID struggle, COVID-19 struggles, the political upheavals, deep confusion, difficulties within the church, it's an oppressive and a difficult time. Remember, I've talked about this various times in the program, haven't done it for a while, but we really have been given some insight by recent popes and prophetic voices in the church that help us understand what we're going through. This is really a time of testing, a time of purification. A time of judgment is happening in the world, a time of judgment and purification. Redemptive discipline is happening in the church. God's judgments are good because God is good. God is love. And when God exercises his judgments, he does it to shake the nations or to shake the church, to awaken people, because in the church itself, there are many baptized people who are drifting into compromise, drifting into worldliness, are really distracted from the fundamental call to be radically, to belong to Jesus as a disciple and to abide in him so they can bear fruit. We can bear lasting fruit that you only get by living in a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus in his church, among his people, and having first things first, having your loves ordered, as St. Augustine said, to put the love of God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as the first and greatest thing in your life. And to love your neighbor as yourself, to have yourself healed and renewed in a way so you have a renewed mind, you could see the value of that calling and that fundamental thing we're all called to that Jesus demonstrated so perfectly and beautifully in his own life, that we're living through a time when the Lord is shaking a Laodicean, slothful, distracted, compromised church. Many, many of the baptized are literally in that position, and a time of purification is happening because the Lord is literally shaking the church in such a way and manifesting the sin and the weakness in the church. And there's all kinds of ways people within the church respond to it. And what's being exposed is what's in the human heart. The rage, the separation, the battles that are going on, the divisions within the church, and people walking away from the church. The Lord is not worried about numbers. The Lord's not worried about who's coming and going. He's always pursuing us in love. He pursues everybody on the planet in love to come to know him and to receive salvation. But what he really wants is a bride, a church that is absolutely radiant, living in a vitally dynamic relationship with the Holy Spirit in our lives, a community of men and women of all ages who are in love with Christ, understand who we are living in, you know, the love that he calls us to, so that he can really use a body that is light and salt and not compromised, whose salt has gone flat, whose light has gone dim. So this is really an important time for us. And I'd say one of the things I want to talk about this week is recognizing the battle that we're making our way through. It's important to understand, first of all, like St. John Paul II said, his word was we're entering into the final confrontation between the gospel, the anti-gospel, the church, and the anti-church, and that this is a battle that lies within the plans of divine providence. All of what's happening, God is permitting, his permissive will is permitting it to happen because he's shaking the nations to get our attention, because so many of us are clinging to things that are shakable, that are not worth cleaving to and clinging to and finding our identity and our happiness and our life in, but instead to have it and find it in God himself, in the person of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit alive in his body. And so the Lord shakes the nation so we release the shakable things that we're clinging to so we can cling to him, the one who is unshakable. So this is a really crucial time to be able to not just endure through the challenges we're facing, but to actually hear the Lord and to follow his leadership in it. What I mean by that is, I think one of the clear things that the shutting down of the world for almost a year, kind of off and on, has brought about an opportunity for us to be able to have more silence in our lives, to be able to spend more time with the Lord himself, to abide in him. Because the key to fruitfulness in the church, the key to fruitfulness in our lives, and for us to come into the very thing that we were made for, is for us to live in deeper union with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, deeper prayer, deeper conversation with God, deeper purification in our own lives. Some of the passages that have gone through my mind throughout the last year is, you know, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know. Be still and be, just to be before God, to know God, to know him in our hearts, to know him so we can come into the union he desires for us. That can't happen unless we're taking time regularly, daily, to have quiet, to listen to him, to speak to him, to talk to him. So that's one of the things I want to get after this week is the using John 15, the beautiful passage in the middle of the Last Supper discourse where Jesus talks about how we need to abide in him so that we can bear much fruit in our lives. And what the Lord wants is a healthy church that's alive and radiant with him, that's abiding and living with him, in him, from him. And we're seeing our whole life in light of that relationship. And we're responding to his leadership so that with the life we have, with the short life we have here on the earth, we can bear fruit that will last, which is such a crucial, crucial thing, right? It's who we're called to be. So let's take a look at John 15, just to get started, beginning in verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. A lot is present there just in these two, three verses, right? So Jesus is being clear. He's the vine. He's saying that the life that flows into the branches, who are the branches? You're the branch, I'm a branch. And that we have been, through our baptism, we've been grafted into that vine. We have union with the Lord. And Jesus is a life source. We have a new life principle that's flowing through us. It's the life of God in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit who's come into our lives. And so that grace comes to us through Jesus precisely because he became one of us and he passed from death to life and took all of us, now the second Adam, into the presence of God, into the presence of the kingdom. And from Jesus, what flows now is the divine life. He's been clothed in glory, which means human flesh has been clothed in glory. And as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, Adam was a life-giving being. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. That is, Jesus gives us new life in the spirit. We receive natural life through Adam. Through Jesus, we receive a supernatural life, a new creation, a power and a capacity now to be united to God that will allow us and empower us and make it possible for us to pass from death to life and to enter into eternal life with him. So that only happens when people receive the Christ life. That's why the church exists. That's why the sacraments are in the church and the church's mission in preaching, because the sacraments are the primary way, especially baptism and Eucharist, by which we receive the grace to become children of God and to live the Christ life. And the Christ life is meant to be alive in us, animating us, leading us to have a renewed mind, renewed emotions, healing our interior life, healing the sick human heart, the sin-sick heart, and having a new heart that's animated by the love of God and the wisdom of God and the fruits of the Spirit being able to eventually emerge in our lives, and that new creation becomes manifest in us individually, but also corporately in the church. That's what's meant to happen. But it won't happen if we're living in the twilight, with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. We're meant to be in the world, but not of the world. But often what happens, we get seduced by the world, and we actually are living from the world in a way. We're living of the world. That is, we're drinking in the values of the world, the attention of the world, the distractions of the world, the gold and the glory that the world worships. We get attracted to it. We get seduced by its corruptions, and we get compromised. And we don't end up growing in the fruit and the grace that's present, that's flowing from the person of Jesus. So he's saying, I'm the true vine. So that's where it all comes from. It comes from Christ. That's why Jesus is the only Savior of the world, by the way. He's the only one. He's the only Son of God. There's no other God that's expressed in religions around the world, no other guru that is a Son of God in the absolute, total, unique way, the eternally begotten Son of God, who's divine. We can speak of all of us are sons of God, those who are baptized into Christ, but we are not the eternally begotten Son of God. We're not divine. We're human beings that are being divinized, that are being renewed and transformed by the power that flows from the Father through the Son and in the Holy Spirit to us. So this is why Jesus is the only one that can produce this in us. And listening to him and cooperating with him is the key. And he says, and my Father's the vine dresser. The Father pays attention to the vineyard. And Jesus makes it clear what the Father does. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. So the taking away of branches that no longer bear fruit, that's not pruning. What you do is, Jesus goes on to say, in every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So God the Father is cutting off dead branches in the church. It's happening today. And he cuts off dead branches for the sake of the church and for the sake of the person that needs to be cut off. Because if you consider yourself a member of the church and you're not really a disciple and you're not abiding in Christ, you're not seeking to bear fruit, you're punching a ticket and hoping to get fire insurance to pass from this life to the next, but you're not serious about following Jesus, you're not living in the life of the church, you're not walking in the Spirit or attempting to, but you're mainly living as a worldling, what the Father does is he cuts off those branches because, one, they end up sucking the life out of the church because they end up communicating something within the church and participating in a way that communicates something other than the life of Christ that's meant to flow through us, right? Promoting values, promoting ways of thinking, ways of being, political positions, decisions, you name it, ideas that are completely contradictory to the kingdom of God and to the rule of the king. And so eventually the Father, he always in mercy tries to call people to repentance. But if people don't repent, and if people insist on standing on their own, living in the world, the Father eventually will cut them off. And they will be on their own because they need to face the reality of what they're choosing, understand that they're no longer living from the vine the way they're meant to, and then also purifies the vine itself from the dead branches. So the Father's very intent on that, and Jesus' words are quite strong when he describes it. He says, you are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. So the pruning and the new life and the renewing that goes on is very much connected to the teaching of Jesus, to the word that he's given to us. Obviously, he himself is the word. And then what he's communicated, what the Father has given him to give to us, he has faithfully transmitted. He talks about this a lot in this section of John's gospel, which brings about a purification and uniting us to him. God bless you, friends. Hope you can tune in tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.